You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as John Rahm fends off Rory McIlroy, Michael Lorenzo Vera and Tommy Fleetwood to be crowned Europe's number one golfer.
There's been so many great champions come out of Spain that haven't been able to accomplish what I have done today. So, you know, I'm really proud of what I've done and it's crazy.
John Rahm claimed the season-ending DP World Tour Championship as well. We'll review all the action as the curtain comes down on another fantastic season. Plus, we'll look ahead to the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Robert Lee and I'm joined from the Jumeirah Golf Estates Earth Course by two-time European Tour champion Jamie Spence, who's currently in his shorts with sunburnt legs. Is that correct, Jamie?
Absolutely right, Robert. It's been a beautiful day, a beautiful week, actually. The weather's been fantastic, the course in great nick, and what a great week we've had.
Yeah, we have had a great week. Throughout today's show, we will be joined by journalists and players from the course in Dubai. And first up is Dennis Cohen, who's an Irish broadcaster and director of Touchline Media and Meridian Media Services. Does that cover it all, Dennis?
That sounds about right. All right, Rob. Thanks for the big intro.
Now, that sounds like you're raking it in.
Far from it, I can tell you. Far from it.
So what kind of a week has it been in Dubai for you?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, it's amazing how quickly the years go by. I mean, I think it's my ninth consecutive DP World Tour Championship, and it's amazing to see how much the event has grown down through the years. I mean, just to see the crowds there on 18 as John Rahm came up and provided them with a thrilling finish was great to see. I mean, this is an event that has definitely captured the public imagination eventually.
What about the growth of John Rahm's game and his trajectory up the world rankings, Jamie?
Yeah, it's been phenomenal, hasn't it, Rob? He just looked like the winner going into the weekend for me. He just had it under control on Saturday. He had a wobble in the middle of his round today, I have to say that. I had a chat with his caddy, Adam Hayes, afterwards as well, when John was being interviewed, and he said, winning is difficult. And he's right, he looked like he was going to win by five or six. But it gets to everybody, and he made a couple of clutch putts on that back nine. Good birdie on 14, I thought, where he laid up. He could have easily gone for it there. I can't see a weakness in his game. He didn't have many fairways today, actually, on a more penal course. Off the tee, could have been in trouble, and he got away with a few out there today.
And Dennis, he's got a big following in Ireland because he's a two-time Irish Open champion.
He certainly is, and in his last 10 events, he's won three. You go back to the Irish Open in Lahinch. I know I'm biased, I'm Irish, but I think it was one of the best events of the year.
It was great, actually. It was great.
It was fantastic. The whole town got behind it, and we were delighted that John Rahm won it. I mean, and when he's gone on and he's won the Spanish Open, he's also won here, and he's had three other top fives in his last 10 events. So extraordinary consistency. But it was interesting, you know, he even said in the presser there this evening that money doesn't really interest him. You know, if we had as much money as he has, Rob, it wouldn't interest us either.
No, I think if you had enough not to worry about it, you can say it doesn't interest you. And when you haven't, of course, it interests you a lot, doesn't it, Jamie?
It interests me, Robert. There's no doubt about it. I'd like a 4-foot putt for $5 million. I know that.
I mean $5 million, who'd have thought, eh?
He was thinking about it. They say they don't think about the money. Trust me, listeners, they do. They do. It's a lot of money for anybody.
And, if they didn't think about the money, Jamie, and it wasn't important, they wouldn't want appearance money.
Why are they getting nervous? That's the thing. Because he definitely felt it on the back nine there, John Rahm. He hit a few poor tee shots, especially on 13, the par 3. He flailed it way right and didn't get up and down. So he was making some mistakes, but when it really came down to the crunch, he had a great drive up the last. And what a bunker shot. What a bunker shot. Shot of the week.
He's a phenomenal bunker player. For the whole game, Dennis, you look at his whole game, there are no weaknesses. He's a beautiful wedge player. He drives it long and unbelievably consistently. What's not to love?
Absolutely. Actually, the shot he played, that bunker shot on 18, under pressure, that's probably one of the best shots I think I've ever seen hit. And I know that Ray Dyer was holding his hand down to say that the actual ball was literally on the downslope of the bunker. And to hit the shot as well as he did, and then to confidently hold the putt with so much on the line. I mean, you know, $5 million effectively on the line, and indeed the chance to become the, you know, first Spanish European number one since his hero Seve. And he mentioned as well in the press conference the likes of Sergio and Ollie never managed to get it done, and he's very, very proud of the fact that he actually has managed to follow in Seve's footsteps to do that. So with all of that on the line, it was really, really impressive, and overall he just is a machine.
And how about Jamie doing it after having had a break of 6 weeks?
Yeah, that's phenomenal, isn't it? He obviously kept his game going. That's pretty obvious this week, the way he played, Rob. But they've got to have a break sometime, these players, and he's chosen to take it then. He knew he was always going to have a chance to win the race to Dubai coming here after that break, or so he thought. He was, you know, he's in that position when he got here. By the way, that was a brand new 60 degree wedge he put in the bag this week, and he played the shot of the week with it. So that was a good addition to put in the bag, that's for sure. It's his short game. He held a chip at 13 as well yesterday from a lie, which I thought he'd do well to get it to about 6-7 feet, and he held it and he just toppled in the front edge. So real, you know, he's a true Spaniard when it comes to that. You think of the great exponents of the art around the greens with their
Spanish
hands, bunkers.
Spanish
it's
hands.
Amazing. It's amazing, yeah, what it is. Miguel Angel Jimenez, a fantastic bunker player, yeah, great touch around the greens, and Ollie was the same, and Seve, etc., etc. So they're blessed.
Dennis Rory, a lot of people thought he might have a rip. He was terrific in round one and round three. Round two, not so good, and he never really got going today.
No, it never really happened for him at all. He made a birdie on the second, and I thought, OK, this is it. This is the start of it. But then he bogeyed seven, and that really was the end of his run. So he never really made a run at it. But you've got to hand it to Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, what an extraordinary performance by Tommy Fleetwood. He hadn't won since Abu Dhabi at the start of last year. He came out last week, he won Nedbank, and he almost won this week as well, and that would have been one of the great comebacks to have won the race to Dubai from the position he was in a couple of weeks ago. But five birdies in his last seven holes, he just showed his true class. He really did put it up to John Rahm, and he made him think about it over those last few holes. It was amazing.
65 for Tommy Fleetwood in the final round. Do you think there was a little piece of him, Jamie, that thought Rahm could miss this, we could still clean up here?
Well, absolutely. I thought it was going to be a playoff for the race to Dubai. That would have been something else, wouldn't it? I mean, it was just a great up and down. Rahm, I think, he had a 4-iron into the last, Rob, and he just bailed out a little bit into that bunker. He could have easily not got up and down. We could have been out there with a playoff. We could still be going now, actually. I go back to Rory. I followed him most of the week. 64 first day, played fantastic. Probably hit the shot of the year. He said it was the best shot he's hit this year on the last with the 3-wood into that wind. It was about 280, you know. There was some shot he hit there. That was a great shot. And then he comes out the next day, 74, and it was nothing. There was nothing there. So it was a bizarre week for McIlroy, I'd say.
Not been a bizarre year for him, though, has it, Dennis?
No, it's been an incredible year, absolutely extraordinary year. I mean, I know, obviously, he hasn't won any more majors, and now it's 5 years since he last won a major back in 2014. But what a year he's had. I mean, 4 wins. He won the Players' Championship. He won the Tour Championship. He won Canada. He emulated Tiger Woods in becoming only the second player to win the FedEx Cup twice. So he has that twice on his CVs. But his consistency was extraordinary. Of the 25 tournaments he played in the year, Robbie had 19 top tens. I mean, that's just extraordinary consistency.
It is.
I know John Rahm is something similar, you know, in terms of he probably has played a little bit less. But when you consider what Rory has done and the quality of the events that he's played in, I mean, that's just sensational. And I really do think that next year the seal is going to be broken again on majors, and he'll go on and win many more.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. The one thing he's fixed or certainly improved dramatically this year, Jamie, is his putting.
He's a great putter, Rory McIlroy, but he's got to allow himself to do it, and he's doing that, and he's had another fantastic week, as has Tommy Fleetwood, as we said. He didn't putt very well in round three, Fleetwood, but he putted well today for 65. Because those pins out there were so tough. They really are. To get close, you've got to hit. You've got to be right on it to get it close, and Fleetwood did that today. And I've got to have a word for Mike Lorenzo Vera. He broke par every day, 63 first day. Had a chance. He had a good chance there the last three holes. Just come up short, but third spot for him amongst all those fantastic players there. Great week for the Frenchman.
How big a gong, Dennis, is the winner of the race to Dubai to win the whole thing?
It's a terrific achievement, and when you look at the list of players who've won it, even in the recent past, you know, like Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, two of the stalwarts of the last Ryder Cup team, all the great players in Europe, generally speaking, have won it, and it's a fantastic notch to have on your belt. There is no doubt about that, and you know, the likes of some young players coming through, Rob McIntyre, just to mention, you know, he'll obviously target that for next year. Worthy mention for him, he's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year, and he's had an amazing season and looks a real talent. But there's some really good young players coming through, as we saw there recently in Turkey. And, you know, you've got the likes of Victor Perez and Matthias Schwab and Victor Hovland. And it's interesting, Padraig Harrington, in his press conference in Wentworth, Rob said that, you know, he got a list of players that could potentially be on his team this year, and he didn't actually recognise two of them. So that'll tell you how much talent is out there at the moment. And I think one of them might have been the Norwegian amateur, but he said he wouldn't name him, but I think that's who he was. But, you know, there's some great strength and depth coming through, and a lot of these young kids now will aspire to be, you know, the next Race to Dubai champion.
Rob McIntyre obviously has won the Rookie of the Year, finished 11th on the Race to Dubai, three places ahead of Kitty Yama. It was a great battle, actually, between those two.
They paired
with each other the first 2 days at two fantastic years and two great players.
And if somebody is aspiring to be as good as Jon Rahm, how realistic is that? I'm trying to say, really, how special is he?
How many good players at the top of the world rankings, Rob? With McIlroy and Kepka and Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas, we're in halcyon days here. There's some fantastic players in the world of golf in the top 10, top 20 even. So I don't think you can put anybody ahead of anybody else. I still think if McIlroy puts his game out there, he's probably the best. That's my view. I know you feel the same. And I think Dennis is nodding away next to me. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, they've all got their absolute best.
Of course they have, yeah.
Kepka is a phenomenal player. He's injured. He's withdrawn from the President's Cup, so that's a little bit of a worry. But it gives the likes of Rory McIlroy and Jon Rahm, who are in the ascendancy, the opportunity to get closer.
But in answer to your question, how does a Bob McIntyre break into that elite group? It's tough.
It is tough.
Any of them, Hovland, all those guys. But Marcus Kinnault, who's played some great golf this year. So it's tough, but they're getting there.
How good a player do you have to be a world top tenner? And then, because it's another leap to get to, you know, 2-3, 2-1.
Well, to give you a case in point, I mean, again, to give you an Irish example, I mean, Shane Lowry is currently 19th in the world. He's the Open champion, and he's probably got one of the best short games that there's ever been. I mean, to me, he's got, you know, silky hands, and he's up there. He's not a bad putter either, and he's a very, very good ball striker. And yet, he's finding it difficult to break up into those higher echelons. So for me, that tells you the Open champion is there and thereabouts, but he still has a bit to go to get to that level. So it's rarefied air up there in the top 10, and it certainly isn't the top 5.
But Shane Lowry may well be the world champion at celebrating a claret jug. He may well be.
He certainly is, and I don't think it's ended yet. I think he might have a few more over the Christmas. I know he's a busy man. I think he's probably got his entire diary filled up with award ceremonies in Ireland.
Gosh.
But I really do think next year is a big year for Shane. I think once he draws a line under that, presses the reset button in the new year, I think you could see Shane pushing for that top 10 place next year. I certainly hope so. He really excites me as a player.
So, Dennis, thanks very much for joining us on the show. But before you go, make a prediction. Make a golfing prediction for next year.
A golfing prediction for next year. Well, I definitely think Rory McIlroy will get back on the majors trail, and I certainly hope he does. And in terms of players to look out for, I mean, Rob McIntyre certainly to me looks like a real talent, and I think he's going to be, you know, winning tournaments on a regular basis next year.
Oh, Dennis, before you go, just one more thing. Can you give us your predictions? Two names for success next week in South Africa.
The field is yet to kind of sort itself out.
There's a lot of TVCs in there, yeah.
Yeah, Erik van Rijn sticks out for me. He's a win in 8 top 10s this year, and he's going in there probably with the best form. And, you know, he won the Scandinavian Invitation earlier in the year, and he was tied second only recently at the Turkish Airlines Open. So he's in form, Rob, and I think Erik van Rijn will go well next week.
Well, you're really sticking your neck out there, South African in South Africa. Have you got one more for us?
Well, I don't think there's many others there other than the South Africans at the moment. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how the actual field actually eventually shapes up. But there's a lot of young players will have the opportunity, and some of the graduates off the tour, the Q School graduates, to get off to a good start and hit the ground running next week. But Erik van Rijn, as I say, to me, he's the standout.
Our producer, who stood alongside you with the glasses, slender in build, is definitely pushing for a second name.
I'm sorry, if Brandon Grace is playing, maybe we go for
playing.
Brandon Grace.
You can have the Grace van Rijn double.
He's having the two favourites, right?
Of course he is.
How about Christian Bezuidenhout? We throw him in as well.
It's Bezuidenhout. You thinking of him?
Well, it's easy for you to say, Rob.
Good stuff, Dennis. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, just to remind you that Jamie Spence is out in Dubai right now, so he's certainly part of the show. I'm waiting for Robert McIntyre to join us and indeed the winner, Jon Rahm. But before we get to those two, let's hear from the runner-up, Tommy Fleetwood.
Now, of course, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of disappointment there, but for the most part, I wasn't in it, got myself back in it, and I was, I am very proud of the way I played on that back nine, and John's time. John's moment. He's played unbelievable this year, and you know, fair play, great birdie down the last, and yeah, just happy with my week.
But I mean, two strong weeks, great end to the season, on a high, looking forward to next season.
I'm looking forward to a break first. I'm looking forward to waking up tomorrow with nothing to do. Kids can go to school, Claire can do a bit of work, I can do nothing, so that's going to be really nice. And then, you know, get back at it sort of when we do get the clubs out again. But I'm just, for now, really excited for a break. These last 2 weeks have definitely painted the season in a brand new light. A lot more satisfaction now than there was before them. And yeah, just have a break and then get ready to crack on next year.
Well, Tommy, obviously very happy with his form, particularly the last 2 weeks, a win in South Africa and narrowly missing out here. Great week for him. And what about the Frenchman who thrilled us after a 63 in the first round and the biggest check he's ever won in his life, Michael Lorenzo Vera?
Well, I'm mostly disappointed right now, but yeah, of course, it's great golf. I've played great golf from A to Z. I don't know if you say that in English. So, I'm proud of my performance. I'm proud of the way I handled my physical condition. And of course, I'm proud of the way I handled my head all week long.
What did you find very positive out of the game today?
Yeah, I managed to hang around with really bad feelings. Didn't hit the driver well today. When it counted at the end, I managed to strike really pure iron shots. That was really important. And mostly proud of my three with an 18. That was an absolute dart.
But obviously going on, you know, give it a couple days, you'll think about it. And this is a massive high finish for the season. And what are your goals for the next season coming up?
Yeah, of course, I want to lift trophies. But I'm getting higher at the world ranking. I think I got chances to play Mexico next year. I'll be into the Open. I'll be normally in the PGA. So, you know, it looks like my game is getting higher and higher. Takes time, takes a lot of time. But the principal thing, I think, will be to be able to just keep going without dropping two down. That's what I could have done the last 2 or 3 years. Like, I could have gone up and then dropped too far down. So I'll really speak with all the team and then see how I can maintain that average high, you know, of my game.
Well played, Michael Lorenzo Vera. He tried very hard, played some superb stuff, but he wasn't good enough to catch the man who cleaned up, John Rahm, who's live with us now from Dubai. And John, it's been an amazing few days for you.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's been a great week. Played fantastic golf all week and played great golf for a better part of today. Just had a little stumble throughout the middle of the round, but I was able to get it done and luckily be a race to Dubai and the World Tour Championship champion.
When somebody says that a player's taken 6 weeks off and they're coming to an important end-of-season event like this, you might think, 6 weeks off, he's going to be a bit rusty. That didn't seem to be the case.
No. After winning in Spain, I was really, really tired mentally and physically. You know, a week like that takes a lot from you, and it was at the end of a long season. So I had a choice to make. Do I go through Asia and you know, tire myself even more and try to just keep my position and maybe not need to win the Tour Championship, or, you know, sacrifice that and rest and have some good time at home with Kelly and just, you know, live a normal life of a 24, 5-year-old. And you know, the choice was easy. I was likely number one in the race to Dubai at that point as well. So I figured I would have a chance to win at the end. And you know, I came this week really rested, really physically strong and mentally strong and knowing what I had to do and got it done.
John, I was out there walking the fairways with you and you mentioned that little wobble in the middle of the round. You started off brilliantly on the greens especially. I thought you'd win by 6 or 7, but that eighth hole has been a problem for you all week.
I thought so too, I'm not going to lie. Feeling really good. That eighth hole, I'm 4 over par on that hole, which essentially has been good. I don't know, I just, you know, didn't happen to hit good shots and it's one of those holes has gotten the best of me. Nothing particular really, it's just, you know, I happen to hit bad shots every day on that hole. It's as simple as that. And I was able to actually escape with a 5, which I was really happy about. I think the worst thing was a 3-putt on 9 from a really, you know, birdieable position to finish with a bogey. But even though I made birdie on 10, I was playing good, made another birdie on 14. It was that 3-putt on 15 that really hurt, but is what allowed me to change my mindset to finish strong in the last 3 holes.
John, in your 6 weeks off, I'm still fascinated. I know you recharged the batteries. Did you practice at all? Were you still doing your bits and pieces in between?
No. After Spanish Open, it was a full month of no golf, no golf clubs. I didn't touch one for exactly 31 days. Didn't even step on a golf course. I did work out and I did try to stay mentally and physically strong, but I did no golf, and that was the best decision I made. After that, I played a couple days and hit balls a couple times, but it wasn't until Thursday where I went to San Diego Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I really practiced and trained hard over there and worked with TaylorMade guys for a little bit and got, you know, dialed in. And then Saturday afternoon, I flew to Dubai. So essentially, it was a couple of days of just tuning up and making sure I was, you know, with the right equipment. I took a chance. I'd never done it before, and clearly it paid off.
Talk me through that last hole, John. You must have known the position you were in. There's plenty of leaderboards out there. You know, Tommy just made a great birdie on 18. What were your thoughts on that tee?
I haven't seen his birdie yet. I really want to know what he did. I heard the cheers. And as much as I wanted to believe it was Rory, I knew it was him because, you know, you can tell. So I made my two putt on 17, which is three. It's a great score on that hole, right? And I was walking to 18, and I was like, you know, I wasn't thinking on anything else but what I had to do in front of me. And I realized I've so many times thought during practice, like, oh, you need this drive, this putt, this hole to make a birdie to win the Turgolf tournament. And instantly my mind went to, you know, you have the opportunity to do something that nobody else can do today, something that I haven't done before. I was the only one in that state. So I was like, go and make that birdie and win the golf tournament. And that's it. Don't give it a chance. And I had probably the best drive of the week. I hit it miles under, a good 4-iron that the wind didn't really move. I ended up in the bunker and followed by one of the best bunker shots I've had.
That was on a downslope as well. You couldn't really go at it, could you? You just had to flop it out. What a shot.
Well, it wasn't a downslope, which not the easiest, right, with water behind the hole, but it was a really good lie. So at least I had that going for me. So I knew all I had to do was get it to the green because it was down green early on, so I knew it would skeet and then roll pretty good. But at the end, it was into the grain, so it was basically going to stop it from going in the water. And luckily, it came up perfect, landed on the downslope and went 4 feet from the hole.
How special, John, is it to be the next Spaniard to be the Race to Dubai winner after Seve?
I still can't believe it. It's hard to believe that Sergio or Ali, you know, the two names always come to mind. Three major championships between the two of them. The fact that they haven't been able to win it, it's crazy. And all that more of a humbling experience that this is, because there's been so many great champions come out of Spain that haven't been able to accomplish what I have done today. So, you know, I'm really proud of what I've done. And again, like I said, it really puts me in perspective of how, you know, amazing everything I've done. And I'm just 25 years old and, you know, I'm only my third year on tour.
John, we both play with Seve, and you fit right into his shoes, let me tell you. And I want to ask you the last question from me is, what's it like standing on a putt? $5 million.
That was not on my mind. I can tell you right now, the only thing that was in my mind was like this crazy Bermuda grass, because it looks flat but the grain is going left, and I was like, do I hit it straight, do I hit it right? I was going crazy. That was the only thing on my mind. And then right before I hit it, you know, I did have it in mind, I'm like, you can make history. And I was like going rucking right in, and it went in. I've never played for the money, so that's not something that's in mind, you know. The reason why I play for the love of the game, and anytime I can join Seve on anything I do in golf, it's a lot more meaningful than money could ever be.
That's pretty cool, John. That's pretty cool. How do your next few weeks shape up for you?
Week off, then I play the Hero World Challenge, Tigers event, and then shortly after that, I'm getting married, so it's some pretty exciting weeks coming up, and you know, Christmas break. I'm really happy about where I'm at right now.
Where's the wedding going to be, John?
It's going to be in Spain. We're actually getting married in Spain first, and then a few months afterwards, we do it in the US as well.
Oh,
so let's just say those $5 million are going to help pay for both of the weddings.
Now you're thinking of the money.
Well, now I can think of it.
Oh, that's great stuff. And you know, Jack Nicklaus says once you get married, that's when your career really takes off. So watch out, world. Here comes John Rahm.
I truly hope so, because I've done some pretty incredible things until now. I can't really imagine getting much better than this.
John, it's great fun watching you. You're a wonderful player, and you'll rise up the world rankings. You're nearly there. You're just a couple of spots away from being the top guy, and that could be around the corner.
It's a lifelong dream, so hopefully I can get myself into position again.
Yeah, many, many congratulations, and good luck with both weddings.
Thank you very much.
Well, it's great hearing from John Rahm, and obviously thrilled to bits with what's been a phenomenal season for him. And what an end to win both the disciplines that are available in Dubai, not only the DP World Tour Championship, but also the Race to Dubai itself. So let's first of all, Jamie, have the top 10 in the tournament.
An illustrious list as well, Robert. Jason Scrivener, 65 today, tied 10th with Andy Sullivan. Ninth place, Matthew Fitzpatrick. Good year for him as well. Sergio Garcia, Thomas Peters and Tom Lewis. shared sixth spot on 10 under par. Danny Willett, the defending champion, he was 11 under par in fifth spot. Rory McIlroy was fourth. Mike Lorenzo Vera, great week for him. He was third. Tommy Fleetwood, just one shot shy in second. And our champion, Jon Rahm.
And now give us the top 10 in the race to Dubai itself. The year-long search for the conquest that Jon Rahm has just made possible. It's very important to the European Tour, and it's been another wonderful season.
Yeah, and it went right down to the wire, didn't it? Eric Van Rooyen, there he is in 10th spot. Terrific season for him. Tyrrell Hatton with that great win in Turkey, he's 9th. Louis Oosthuizen in 8th, and Matt Wallace in 7th. Rory McIlroy just outside the top 5 in 6th spot. And then the top 5 with the bonus pool as well. Matt Fitzpatrick in 5th. Shane Lowry, the Open champion, 4th. Three-time winner and just come up shy, Bernd Wiesberger in 3rd place, but a great year for him. Tommy Fleetwood in 2nd, and our Race to Dubai champion is Jon Rahm.
Another element of what was happening this week was the award for Rookie of the Year, and it was a close-run race. And wouldn't you know it, here comes Bobby McIntyre.
My mother calls me Robert, my pals call me Bob, nobody calls me Bobby.
You've got it in one.
How are you, mate?
Oh, good, yourself?
Yeah, very good. The end of a long season for you.
No, it's been a long but successful one for me, so now I've enjoyed every bit of it.
What were your plans starting out this year? What did you think you could achieve?
I really just tried to keep my card, finishing the top 110, whatever I finished, 110 or 109, 108. The main goal was to be playing the European Tour next year, but I've surpassed that, and I just, halfway through the season, I just kept saying to myself, let's see how high up we can go and just enjoy every minute of it.
Have you surprised yourself how good you are, or have you sort of had to upgrade the way you see yourself as you went through the year?
I knew my game was good. I just didn't know how it would hold up against some of the best in the world. But it's made me realise that I can play with them. I can compete with them. And that's satisfying for me and my coach as well. It's been hard work. It's not been easy to get to where we are, but we've enjoyed it, and hopefully there's many more to come.
How important for you has it been to win the Rookie of the Year award?
It's huge. I mean, at the start of the year, it wasn't in my sights, but halfway through the season, after the British Masters, we were right in contention for it, and it became a goal that we set out, and to finally get over the line there today, it's something I have to go home before I realise what I've really achieved. But when I do, I'm sure it'll be right up there in the list of things that I've achieved.
I mean, you seem like a really easygoing, nice young fella, but professional golf is a tough sport. So how do you assess what you've done this year and then make sure that you're right at it when you get into the start of 2020?
I feel like I've got to go and enjoy the next few weeks off. I'm going to work harder than ever when I do get back into playing golf. But for now, you've got to enjoy yourself. But on the course, you've got to be ruthless. I felt like that's what I've tried to learn over the last few months. It's been something that I needed to improve on. I was too nice, too Mr. Nice Guy, but now we've got a little edge to us. And now, as long as I'm still playing good golf, then we're enjoying it.
That's a great word to keep in mind, ruthless, because you're quite right about that. That's the sort of way you've got to see yourself. Doesn't matter how nice you are or how friendly you seem to be, once you get on that first tee, the word ruthless has to be right at the forefront of your mind. And you certainly seem to have although from the outside you seem very friendly and affable, there's a bit of a hard streak in there. It's very important.
Yeah, there is. I mean, that's the part of professional sport. You've got to have that. I think everyone's got it. They show the nice guy, but there's that grit and determination that you've got to have, and that's what the top boys have, so you've got to try and find that.
What's the best thing about being Robert McIntyre?
I don't know, just family life. I mean, I enjoy myself. It's not, there's no, never a chore. Everything I do, I enjoy doing it. And I suppose that's probably the main thing, just enjoying family time.
That's brilliant. When you were, you were playing golf as a youngster, what other sports were you good at?
I played almost everything. Football, tennis, badminton, obviously shinty. Everyone knows that.
Sure. Now.
But that was my main sport, shinty, until I really made a decision on playing professional golf and doing golf as a career.
And what age was that?
16, 17 is when I really turned attention to...
You're kidding?
I actually stopped playing. I stopped playing shinty. I stopped playing shinty just to focus fully on golf. And we pushed it hard. And here we are today.
Well, that was a wonderful decision, Robert. And everybody, when we talk about Robert McIntyre, everybody says how much they enjoy watching you play. And I'm certainly right up there in the Robert McIntyre fan club. It's been a lot of fun watching you this year. And to be honest, the sky's the limit. I hope it feels like that to you.
Yeah, is it something that, I mean, I don't really worry about what's happened. I just have to keep pushing on. And as long as I keep enjoying playing golf, then you just don't know how far you can go. And I'm sure I'm going to, if I keep enjoying golf, then who knows? No one can predict where we'll end up, but I'm sure I'll enjoy it while it lasts.
A fantastic performance. You've flown the flag for Scotland on the European Tour proudly. Every success to you, and have a great Christmas and enjoy your time off.
Cheers. Same to yourself. Thank you.
Well, Jamie Spence live in the media centre in Dubai. We've been watching a lot of Robert McIntyre this summer. He looks like a fantastic prospect, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, Rob. He's a very exciting player as well. He really takes the golf course on. He seems to have been on every leaderboard that I've attended, every event I've attended, and a worthy winner of that Sir Henry Cotton Rookie of the Year. Very unlucky for Kurt Kitayama because he's had a terrific season as well, and they paired together early in the week. But quite rightly, I think McIntyre's come out on top. He's played some terrific golf. And just look at the names that he's up against there that have won this illustrious award. Sandy Lyle, Lazabal, Sergio Garcia's won it, and Brooks Koepka. So he must be absolutely thrilled to get his name on that trophy.
What weapons does he have, Jamie?
Well, he's quite long. He's just got a great touch. He's got a great swing. He did reference his three-year coach, David Burns, who coaches him. And he actually caddied for him in the Porsche Open earlier this year when he could have won that. So he's got everything, Robert. I don't see any weakness. I had a chat with his coach, David, a couple of weeks ago, and he did say he would like to get better around the greens, and Robert said the same. And it's always the same for these younger players who come out on the tour. They can hit the ball fantastic. It's that those edges around the greens and in bunkers that they just need to learn when you look how brilliant Rahm is, for example, around the greens, and all these players have had to learn it. Tommy Fleetwood had to learn it. Rory's learning it still. And I think it's just those nuances around the greens because you play off different surfaces and sand and long rough and no rough, but he's got the lot.
Yeah, he certainly has. OK, Martin Dempster has now joined us. He's a golf writer for The Scotsman and the Edinburgh Evening News. Martin, what's your week been like in Dubai?
Absolutely fantastic out here, Rob. You know, this is a fantastic event, and we've had an exciting last day, an exciting last hole, and fantastic.
What about Robert McIntyre? He's been a revelation this year. Left-handed, Scottish, very, very natural. He's been a joy to watch.
Yeah, he has indeed. The thing about Bob, he's taken everything in his stride. He's a lovely young lad. He's a very easygoing lad, and everyone's taken to him out here. First and foremost, he's a talented golfer, but the fact that he's not been overawed by anything has been massive, and to win European Tour Rookie of the Year has been exceptional, and Scotland's very proud of the young man.
Does he have a lot of traction in Scotland?
Yeah, he does, yeah. I mean, Bob won the Scottish Amateur Championship at Muirfield in 2015. He was one of these. We've had lots of good young amateurs coming through in Scotland for 10 years, even the last 5 years, they've not made that transition. We've had a decade's worth of lost talent from the amateur game into the professional game, and Bob's come along, but it's not just Bob. We've had Grant Forrest, as he's retained his card. David Law won on the tour this year. Liam Johnson narrowly failed to keep his card, and we've got now Conor Symes going to go back on next year. Callum Hill, 24-year-old, he's got his card as well. So we're finally starting to make progress again in Scotland, and the man who's leading it is undoubtedly Bob McIntyre.
And what do you think the reason is for that?
Yeah, I mean, he's talented. I think people don't realise that the transition from Challenge Tour to the main tour, it's a bit harder than some people think it is. I mean, the standard out here is exceptional. So you have to have a game. You have to have a big, big game to do well out here. And Bob McIntyre's had 7 top 10 finishes. Some of them have come in the biggest events,
sure,
including the Open Championship on his major debut. So, you have to have something special about you, that X factor. And the way he's played this year, Bob McIntyre definitely has that X factor. So all of a sudden, we've got a young lad who's come along. Everyone's talking about him in Scotland. So let's hope that he's the catalyst for golf to become popular again in Scotland among the juniors.
Well, I was just going to say, can Robert McIntyre, Bob McIntyre, have the same effect in Scotland as, say, let's Rory has in Northern Ireland, because Hollywood, where he's from, apparently the junior section there is 200 strong.
Yeah, quite possibly. But it takes someone like that. Andy Murray in tennis in Scotland. I mean, think of the effect he's had in Scotland and Britain overall. So, yeah, tennis got a lift from that. Monty was fantastic, but Monty's now on the senior tour. We needed someone to come along and be the main saltire standard bearer in the European Tour and world golf. And on the basis of what we've seen this season, a very exciting future lies ahead for the young man from Oban.
The young man, that's right, Oban. That's a quiet little backwater on the west coast of Scotland. I know it well.
Lovely place.
Yeah, I've been Oban and I've been to Mull and I've been to Iona at the end of Mull, so I've done all that. Robert McIntyre, potential major champion or not?
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, this is one season, so we've just got to keep things in perspective. But why not? I mean, if you can get in the top 50 in the world, get into the Masters next year, it's all experience for him. But given the way he's played, given the impression he's made this year, why not? Somewhere down the line, he can become a major champion.
Well, Martin, thanks very much for spending time with us on the Race to Dubai. And I concur with your thoughts. I absolutely think Robert has got an old head and young shoulders. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how he progresses next year. Thank you, Martin.
Pleasure.
Now, last week's predictions, you had two choices, so 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a missed cut. But there was no cut, so that was defunct. I went for Rory McIlroy, who did pretty well, finished 4th, so he got 10 points for me. Bernd Wiesberger to win the Race to Dubai, 0 points. That didn't happen. John Hawksworth went for Shane Lowry to win both, and he got 5 points for that. Matt Cooper, in the guest seat, went for John Rahm to win the Race to Dubai and to win the DP World Tour Championship, which, of course, he did. So he got 40 points for that. So coming up on the rails, it means that the guests, via the 40-point haul from Matt Cooper, have won the entire thing. They've put together 215 points to the presenters, 210 points. The co-presenters were third with 155 points. And all those points that Dan Roebuck threw away through the whole season actually, in the end, were very heavy points to give away. So that's all I'm willing to say on that one. Fantasy Race to Dubai game, congratulations to Mick Bull, who's won the Fantasy Race to Dubai game after a long campaign, but a very successful one as well. Okay, reminder that you can get involved for the season upcoming by entering your team at fantasyrace.europeantour.com and keep abreast of all things happening with that on the website itself, europeantour.com. Now we have another guest, Adrian Millerick, who is belonging to the European Tour. He has the badge, and he's their social media guru. How's your week been at the final, the curtain closer, Adrian? A very busy week, I suspect, for you.
It has been very busy, Rob. It's actually been an amazing week and probably much better than what we could have ever expected. It's had everything, really, like from the Rory, Fairway Woods. I think when Tommy Fleetwood holed out with his very first approach of the week, I think that was first round, wasn't it? It feels so long ago.
It was his very first
approach into the first hole. You just thought, this kind of feels like it could be quite a special week. And then today, obviously, was very epic.
And what things have you been doing social media wise?
Well, like weeks like this, to be honest with you, when the golf's so good and so world class, it's really just sending that out there. Really, it's much easier for us. But obviously, it's a massive week for us with having the tournament finishing and then the Race to Dubai finishing as well. So it's very, very busy. And yeah, it's been fantastic.
Any funny interviews this week?
We had a little chat with John Rahm on Monday and we went out on the course just for an hour and didn't see anyone on the front nine and then went to the back nine and then John Rahm was just him and his caddy. And that was quite nice. You know, you don't often get to see them, just the two of them together. And it's amazing, like when you take away all the pressures and all the cameras and all the fans, so laid back and chatting away. And then the group ahead of them was Rory and Lowry, and they were playing a little match. That's always lovely.
So when you've had a successful season, not only with the European Tour, but with your social media output, how do you try and top that for next year?
Gosh, you're already talking about next year. We haven't even finished this year yet. We're going to be up in the hotel bar eating peanuts and...
you're buying...
flat beers until about midnight. So yeah, we haven't thought about next season, but you know, it's always social media is getting bigger and our team's getting bigger, and next year will be even better than this year, I'm sure.
Adrian, listen, have a great Christmas period. Take some downtime when you can get it, because I'm sure 2020 is going to be hectic, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Rob. Cheers for having me.
Many thanks to Adrian, who does a great job with our social media team on the European Tour, and you can find all of it and more. EuropeanTour.com is the website, and you can even find out what Billy was up to. You probably have seen in the past his interview with Rory McIlroy. That was stellar. This time he was out on the golf course trying to catch some players. His luck wasn't quite as good as it was first time round. So in other news, the Q School. It's a very important week for young players trying to make it onto the European Tour. Benjamin Pope completed an emphatic six-stroke victory at the European Tour qualifying school final stage to run away with the title, as 28 players earned life-changing European Tour cards. The 2019 European Tour Q School was contested over 252 holes in three stages across 14 different venues. A record number of 1,063 entrants bid for one of the coveted European Tour cards, surpassing the previous record of 1,026 from 2017. The Dane led from the second round at Lumine Golf Club. He broke 70 each day, which is pretty incredible. Six rounds back-to-back in the 60s is always going to get it done. And well done to Gregory Havre, who lost his card, went back to the school, and he finished second. It's so exciting when you go there to see the players that have been successful. But the biggest cheer, the biggest excitement of the week was delivered by Richard Kullberg. He holed a 50-foot putt on the 108th hole, the last hole of the sixth round, to finish in a tie for 25th place, picking up the last available European Tour card. Now, that is a story before Christmas. That gladdens your heart. It really does. Absolutely amazing, Jamie, eh?
Incredible, Rob. It's always somebody that, you know, does the amazing thing there at the Tour School. As you say, it's a real marathon. And good old Richard Kullberg as well. And Canizares, Alejandro Canizares, had a real troublesome couple of years with injuries. He finished third. Some great stories there. And Siwon Kim from America shot 8-under last day to get his 17th card. Fantastic goal from him as well.
Now, world number one George Groves held off the challenge of America's Chad Pfeiffer to win the inaugural Edgar Dubai Finale. The 36-hole event featured some of the world's best golfers with disability and was taking place alongside the European Tour's season-ending DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. The Englishman has Erb's palsy, a condition which leaves him with 20% strength in his left arm after a medical accident during birth. But that has not stopped him from rising to the top of the world rankings for golfers with disability.
Feels fantastic. Obviously, we have a really strong field out there. It was playing a lot more tougher today than yesterday. Breeze a little bit more up, probably about a one or two club more wind. But I got the job done, and yeah, I'm really, really proud of myself.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What would you be doing if you weren't playing in this one?
See, I don't know. This tour has really changed my life. I think it's just changed me as a person, changed me as a golfer, and I'm just really happy that I've actually managed to basically get into stuff like this. It's really good.
Many congratulations from all of us here on the Race to Dubai show to George Groves. What a performance, what a performance. Absolutely sensational. Now, there were meant to be two events this week to kickstart the new season, but one of them has been, well, paused for reschedule. That's the best way of putting it, because of the conditions in Hong Kong. They haven't gone ahead with the Hong Kong Open this week, but it was going to be a doubleheader with the event in South Africa at Mpumalanga. And the official word from the European Tour is this: regretfully, the European Tour, in conjunction with our tournament co-sanctioning partner on the Asian Tour, has taken the decision to postpone next week's Hong Kong Open. An attempt will be made to reschedule the tournament to early 2020. Keith Pelly, chief executive of the European Tour, said the decision has been taken due to the ongoing level of social unrest in Hong Kong. As the safety of our players, staff, stakeholders, and everyone involved in each and every one of our tournaments around the world is our top priority, we feel this is the correct but unfortunate course of action. And really, Jamie, there's not much else you can do with that, is there?
No, I was looking forward to going, like everybody else. Yeah. It's a great stop on the European Tour, Robert, out there in Hong Kong. Fantastic old-style golf course, but what can we do? We just got to go with the advice we're given, and hopefully we get it rescheduled in the new year.
Yeah, it would be terrific if we do, and I'm sure everyone involved wants that to happen. So, we do have an event to start the brand new season. It is the Alfred Dunhill Championship at Leopard Creek Country Club, which you have played, Jamie.
No, I haven't, Robert.
Oh, I thought you'd been there and were quite wary of the wild, the big cats, the big animals.
No, I'd love to go there. I'd love to go to the Kruger and see all that, and the Crocodile River down there below the par 5, is it 13th? 14th holes there that runs down the side of the golf course, and you see the hippos and the crocs and all the fantastic wildlife down there. It's a great watch. Even if you're not a keen golfer, go and watch it just to watch the wildlife. It's an incredible golf course.
It is. It literally abuts the Kruger National Park and the animals come across, and there are crocodiles in the Crocodile River, so it's a place where you must behave and do
it's
what you're supposed to do.
It's not named that for no reason, Robert.
You don't go barefoot paddling in the Crocodile River. That is
no,
correct.
No, you do not.
David Lipsky.
You don't go look for your golf ball in there.
No, you don't. David Lipsky is the defending champion on a golf course that's, well, 7,250 yards long. Used to be a long golf course. Now, Jamie, by modern standards, in the warmth that's down there, not really anymore.
Well, that's right. Yeah, it was a monster back in the day, but yeah, not quite so much. We've got a number of previous winners playing here this week. Ernie Els won it three times. Brandon Stone in 2017. Schwartzel, four-time winner of this event. Incredible. Richard Stern, he's won it before. Brandon Grace in 2015. I would have thought Brandon Grace would be the favourite in this field. As you can imagine, it's top-heavy with the homegrown players.
Yeah, a lot of South Africans. And you said Brandon Grace, Eric Van Rooyen's playing, Justin Hardy's playing, Eddie Pepperell, Richard McAvoy, Thomas Bjorn, Ernie Els, and all the players, really, that have just got their card that we talked about at the Q School and from the Challenge Tour. It's a really good way to start your year and maybe get some points on the board, Jamie, before you get to the Christmas break.
Absolutely. And that's where my eye is taken to the Challenge Tour players and Tour School players. They're in form. You'd have to say they're all banging form and really keen to make their mark on the main European Tour. And we've seen it before, and we saw Robert McIntyre come in this year. Kurt Kitayama won very early last year. So there's a great opportunity, and I'm pretty sure one of them's going to take it.
Well, Dennis has already given us his thoughts earlier on the show, and he went for the two standout South Africans, Brandon Grace and Eric Van Rooyen. So how has that left Jamie Spence with his picks?
Well, Brandon Grace would have been one of my picks from the South Africans, but I'm going to go a bit left field and go to the Challenge Tour. And I'm going to pick the two players at the top of that Challenge Tour list from last year, and that's Francesco Laporta from Italy and Callum Hill, the Scot.
So I'm crossing out Callum Hill because I've got him written down here. That's unbelievable.
Hasn't he played on the PGA Tour recently, Callum Hill? I think he has.
I go last, and it's to my chagrin that I go last.
Bad luck, Robert.
So you're going.
There's plenty left for you. It's a big field. There's lots of other players.
Okay, well, I'm gonna counter that with Eddie Pepperell, because I think he'll be keen. Things haven't been going his way.
He needs to take some golf balls with him, Robert.
He needs to make sure he's got every golf club that's in fine fettle. And
he needs six dozen golf balls. There's lots of water there.
Last time he played, he ran out of golf balls. That's pretty unusual. When's the last time you heard that?
Well, I did it in a tournament, actually, back in the day at the Peelham Open.
That's when you had to buy them. That's right.
I did, and I lost the last one down the last.
And I'll tell you what my second one is. My second one's going to be Lee Slattery.
Where'd you get that from?
Because he's missed out. The season wasn't as he wanted. And sometimes when you get caught up in the desperation to get inside the top 110 or whatever the number it finishes at the end, it stifles you. And maybe he's going to be freed up a little bit.
And he only missed the cuts by one shot. I think nine tournaments he missed the cut by a shot last year. So
unbelievable,
stuff.
Yeah, so he could easily
come back.
And I think maybe, you know, with that now out of the way, you think, do you know what? If I go here and play well, I can right the ship. So I'm going for Lee Slattery.
Good for you, Robert.
Thank you. And Eddie Pepperell.
And Eddie Pepperell.
Yes,
Eddie Pepperell, the man who lost all his golf balls. When I lost my, I actually changed golf ball that day and only had six of the harder golf balls with me. It was in Sweden. And I got to the last hole and I realised I only had one left. There was a tiny little pond and it pitched straight in it. I couldn't find it, and that was that. There you go.
I know.
It can happen, Robert. It can happen.
Having said that, Jamie, you've got a lot of hard luck stories.
Haven't I just?
And that's
how
only
long
one
have we
of
got?
Them. But
how
not,
long have we got?
You're not bitter and twisted anyway, it's amazing.
Can I just mention
Adrian
Mironk? He's the Polish player, got his card on the Challenge Tour. First Polish player I can remember on the European Tour, for sure. Finished fifth on the Challenge Tour. Good luck to him.
Well, that just shows you the international nature of golf and the international nature of golf on the European Tour, because when you look at a leaderboard any given week, the flags on the right-hand side of the players as you go along, you see their scores and you see where they're from. It's extraordinary, isn't it? The mix of players that take part.
Your geographical knowledge needs to be up there to recognise all those flags. Great thing, European Tour. It's attracting players from all over the world. Fantastic.
Yeah, it sure is.
First Polish player. Hopefully we get a Polish Open soon.
And he won't be the last. Many thanks to all our guests who joined us live on the show. What was a very hectic afternoon in Dubai. Many thanks to all of them. And, of course, the players, particularly John Rahm, who cleaned up and won everything. Next week, we will review the Alfred Dunhill Championship. Plus, then, look ahead to the Fraser Bank Mauritius Open. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. via the EuropeanTour.com website or by downloading the official app. But for now, from Jamie Spence, who's right there on the Earth course in Dubai, who's gone for
Francesco Laporta and Callum Hill.
And Dennis went for the two South Africans, Brandon Grace and Eric Van Rooyen. And for myself, Robert Lee, who's chosen Eddie Pepperell and Lee Slattery for victory this week. Until next time, it's goodbye.